Also want to say thank you to this bloke, Agent Blue. He continues to do things, although I know he does a lot of things that are wrong and crazy. I'm not sure if he's going to pull off what I've asked him to do today, but I hope he does. So let's have a look at what Agent Blue's been up to this week.
Morning, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue here on location. Being how it's Father's Day, I thought he'd be out and about today. Boys and girls, Agent Blue knows lots about Father's Day. Lots. In fact, I know it's a day that we can all tell dad's jokes. So here's a good dad joke for you. Ready, boys and girls? What's smells like red paint, but is blue? You got that, boys and girls? What smells like red paint, but is blue? Answer, of course, blue paint. Ha, there's a blue joke from Agent Blue. Hey, boys and girls, I thought you'd be laughing about that one. Aha, see, even Agent Blue's laughing because it's so funny. All right, boys and girls, Agent Blue knows lots about Father's Day because you might be surprised to know, but Agent Blue is a dad as well. Yes, boys and girls, Agent Blue's a father. I've got a wife. Guess what her name is? Her name is Cinderella. Yes, boys and girls, just like the princess from Walt Disney, Cinderella. Although, this Cinderella, she's more like the queen of this household. And I've got two sons, boys and girls. Two sons. Older one and a younger one. Yes, boys and girls, just like the prodigal son from the Bible, there was one older and there was one younger. My older son, his name is Michael. Now, Michael is a primary school teacher, works up north in Queensland somewhere. And he's had a big year this year, pretty big year. He got married, and he married this beautiful little Kiwi girl from New Zealand, and her name is Jordania. And yeah, they're doing very well. They're very, very happy. And then it's my younger son. Yes, boys and girls, and just like the prodigal son, one of the kids was a better kid and the other one was a little bit more of a challenge. My younger son, James. Yes, boys and girls, James. James works in outdoor education and he's doing pretty well. He's doing some study as well. We don't see him as much as we used to see. He's just got himself a girlfriend. He's met this lovely little hairdresser called Brenda. She's from Zimbabwe. So, yeah, we're an international family now. Agent Blue, who travels the world anyway, so I'm good with all languages. So I can speak Kiwi and Zimbabwean, so we're good. We've got it all covered. Well, boys and girls, just a couple of things about Father's Day. Just make sure you look after Mum and Dad, especially Dad today, and let him tell lots of dad jokes. Hold on, boys and girls. I'm getting a phone call here. Modern technology, isn't it amazing? I just love this new phone that I've got given, boys and girls, from Boss C. All right, hold on a sec, boys and girls. I've just got to take this phone call. Good morning, Agent Blue. Ah, Pastor Donnie, yes. Great to see you today, Pastor Donnie. How you doing? Ah, yes, Pastor Donnie, of course. I've got hold of that job for you. No problem, Pastor Donnie. It was my pleasure. Ah, yeah, you know, we love the dads here at Kiwanis Life, and whatever I can do to help out, boys and girls, I'm certainly keen to help out too there, Pastor Donnie. Okay? All right, thank you, Pastor Donnie. You won't be disappointed. I won't let you down. All good. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that, boys and girls. Pastor Donnie gave me a job this week, and because it's Father's Day, and we've got a number of dads here in the church right now, but obviously not all the dads can make it to church at the moment. So Pastor Donnie was wondering how we were going to do that. So I told him about Drones R Us. And so we've organised for Drones R Us to deliver 120 chocolates this morning to all the dads not at church. And so that's all organised. So at probably 10 o'clock or 5 past 10 this morning, all the dads at home will miraculously have a drone arrive at the front door and chocolates will arrive at the front door. How cool is that, boys and girls? Pastor Donnie will be impressed and surprised. Yes, I've apparently let him down a few times. Anyway, boys and girls, I better keep going. I've got to go make sure that Drones R Us have got all the details so Pastor Donnie doesn't get cranky. Got to be careful with Pastor Donnie. He can get cranky, boys and girls. Yes, he can. All right, boys and girls, make sure you love one another. Love your dad. Make sure he's got some jocks and socks and chockies today and let him go fishing this afternoon. Boys and girls, love one another. Be good to one another. Be nice to one another. And on this Father's Day, give Dad the biggest hug out. All right. God bless you, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue, out.
Okay, I'm going to try something a little bit different today. I'll see how it works. Part of it will be up to me remembering to do it. So if I leave one hat on longer than the other, just let me know, okay? Hopefully it'll make sense. All right, let's pray as we just bring this before the Lord and see how it goes. Father God, again, we thank you for this opportunity of getting into your word and having a look at some things on Father's Day, a day where we remember our dads, but we also remember you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave us this opportunity to meet your Father and for him to become our Father as we are his adopted sons and daughters, chosen by you to be in God's family, that we might be joint heirs of Christ. Ah, what a great thing, Lord God. Help us to remember that this day and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get into this. The Bible is clear about our relationship with God, and that is that he is our Father. We are his children. In fact, God is identified as our Father 265 times in Scripture. Do you think that? 265 times in Scripture. Most of these are found in the New Testament because it is Jesus who introduces and welcomes us into this relationship as God the Father and us as the adopted children. In Romans chapter 8, it says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Romans chapter 8, 14 to 16. Now the word Father conjures up different images for people. For some, the Father is associated with a warm memories and laughter. For others, absence or rejection. This is why it is important for us to understand today that God is not only our Father, but is indeed, like the song says, a good, good Father. Now the red hat, I'm going to wear the red hat for a father. Oh, I had in my mind a white hat and a black hat, so good dad, bad dad type thing. But we're telling enough good jokes and bad jokes, so I didn't want to get confused with that sort of thing. So the red hat resembles a father under grace. Is that a better picture? A father under grace. Okay, so under grace, under the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a dad, I make mistakes, but hey, I'm in God. The other one is a bad dad. A dad making bad decisions, a dad making bad choices, a dad doing bad things. Okay, we're going to have a look at that throughout it all. I'm praying that this doesn't break into some sort of karaoke sort of thing. All right, if I start singing, please have an intervention. Okay, all right. I'm going to use three examples. Firstly, from the Bible, and then a couple of examples, another three examples from my own personal life. First one is we're going to come across this guy called Eli. First, we meet Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and he's a good dad. He's doing a good thing with Hannah. He's giving her some good advice. Although he did challenge her about being drunk in the temple, probably not a good start as a priest, a bit of an assumption, I guess. But Eli goes on, and then in chapter 2, verse 12, we meet his sons. And we understand that Eli is not such a good dad to his sons, because it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 from the New King James. "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord," which is pretty condemning because they were actually priests in the temple. And yet they did not know the Lord. Here is the same reading from the Message, and it says, "Eli's own sons were a bad lot. They didn't know God and could not have cared less about the customs of priests among the people." And if you go into 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, you get to read the story about Eli and his two sons. It's not a very good story. But the really cool thing is God gives Eli Samuel. And Eli gets to be a good dad to Samuel. He gets to lead Samuel into hearing God's voice loudly and clearly. Isn't that good that Samuel and Eli had a good, good father that cared for them and watched over them and wanted to help them do the right thing? We now go on to King David. King David, the man in the New Testament that we know as a man after God's own heart. That's a pretty good little epitaph, isn't it? Pretty good little thing to have said about you. I would love to have people say, yes, that's Donnie. He has a heart after his God. He has a heart after God. I think that would be really cool. And that's what was said about David. And we know David did a lot of good things. He fought some great battles. I mean, the battle with Goliath, I know PC world, we're not supposed to talk about those sort of things because bad news, kids. Goliath dies. Sorry about that. It happens. Anyway, so David and Goliath, there's a battle that goes on, but he's doing it in God's strength. There's the whole picture where Saul says, hey, why don't you do it in my armor? And it just didn't fit. So David does it in the name of God. And he goes and fights one of the enemies of Israel in God's strength and in faith. And he writes a whole bunch of great psalms that we all know and love heaps. But if we go into David, we find out that he was a bad dad. There was times when kings went to war, and he didn't go to war. He stayed at home. And he went to the highest places of the castle, his palace, and he looked down upon a girl called Bathsheba, who was married. But he didn't stop him. He had an affair, and then he organized to have her husband put in the very, very toughest part of a battle where her husband was killed. So there's times where David didn't do it right either, and he got it wrong as a bad dad. And we look into David's stories with his kids, and a whole bunch of his kids were acting out in different ways. One of his kids, Absalom, acted out pretty badly, tried to take the whole kingdom over from his dad, had a bit of a dummy spit. So there's a lot of bad things that happened in amongst all that. But the interesting thing is, at the end of David's life, God intervenes again and gives him a son, Solomon, who takes over and tries to do things correctly. Starts off on the right foot anyway. God pours out lots of wisdom upon Solomon. But like most, Solomon too has his bad days. Church history tells us about a lot of broken people who do amazing things in God and yet not so much good things in their own families. The more you delve into church history, the more you believe, yes, there is a good, good father who watches over the church, because if it was left in man's hands, we wouldn't have a church today. Here's something from 1 Timothy. It says this, by one of the other guys who was a bit of a bad man. It says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithfully, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Who's that by? Paul. The Apostle Paul, who writes at least half to two-thirds of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and yet he calls himself the chief or the worst of all sinners. And he calls himself a blasphemer, a persecutor. If you read into the book of Acts, you'll find out that they say that Paul was breathing out death towards the early church. And yet, he too comes under the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk a little bit about my granddad. I didn't know my granddad real lot. I was 7 years old when he passed away. My granddad was a World War I veteran, and it was pretty crazy. The reason granddad's come to mind this week is because in cleaning up my mum's house last weekend, we found a whole bunch of postcards from World War I. Postcards from my dad, my granddad, to his to-be wife, Doreen Beddo. And a whole postcard with about three lines on it. And you think my writing's terrible. This writing's really hard to read. I suppose it's because it's really old and faded and all that sort of stuff. There were postcards from my great uncle Joe being cheeky to his big brother, my granddad, George. And the sad thing about reading Uncle Joe's is 3 weeks before the end of World War I, Uncle Joe was killed by friendly fire on the front. 3 weeks before the end of it, he would have been able to come home. But to read a postcard from him about, you know, his brother George, have you fallen off any lorries lately, mate? So I guess my granddad George fell off a lorry. But as a young boy growing up, I didn't know a lot about my granddad. All I knew is that my granddad taught me how to fish. Well, how to fish specifically for one fish, mullet. So in the Brunswick River, he would teach me how to go into the footbridge and with bread, which we got off the baker for free. I think there was Scottish in his blood. And I would just tie it on a special set, special rig, what they call a mullet rig, and use little number 10 hooks, put it in, put it down, and the potty mullet would come everywhere, and I'd catch all these little potty mullet. And I thought my granddad was teaching me how to be a fisherman. And I love fishing because my granddad taught me all these things, how to do fishing knots and how to do this and how to catch potty mullet. And it wasn't, and that time I thought I was doing a good thing. But afterwards, I found out as I got older that my granddad was using me as child slavery. Because at night time, he would take my potty mullet that I'd spent all day catching, and he would go and use them as bait out on the wall to catch tailor and big fish. Put the grandkid to work, catch a little fish. I've got my bait for the night. Off he goes fishing. But I thank my granddad for the love of fishing. My dad would be 99 years old this coming Tuesday if he was still alive. He was a World War II veteran. And if my kids think I'm a grumpy dad, he was a grumpy dad. He worked night shift as a male nurse, one of the first of Queensland's male nurses. And he would swap shifts to get the night shift because apparently he earned more money on night shift. But that meant he would sleep during the day. And when all us boys were home, we would want to play and we would get in trouble. And he would get grumpy at us for waking him up. Now, my dad was a great cricketer. This is his cricket trophy. It's a trophy from 1950 and 1951. And it is to D. Johnson, who had the best bowling average of the season, A-grade cricket. And at this season, they played the top team from the last season, the Premiers, and Dad took 8 for 10. 8 wickets for 10 runs. Not a bad effort. And when I look at this and I remember how old Dad was, he was 30 years old when he won that. 30-year-old, playing against probably a bunch of young guys, and he wins it in that trophy. So I look at my dad and I looked after him as a great cricketer, someone I wanted to be like, and so that's what got me involved in cricket. But my dad, yeah, he was grumpy. He had this understanding of what it meant to be a dad, and some of the dads here might understand this as well. In those days, the role of a dad was to put a roof over your head, food on your plate, clothes on your back, and belt your backside when you were wrong, or naughty, or on the question of being naughty. Dad was very good at putting a roof over our head. He was very good at putting clothes on our back. He was very good at putting food on our plate. Even if it was mullet just once a week, and the rest was meat and three veg. None of this pizza stuff. And you're not going down to that Chinese restaurant. And definitely don't mention the Japanese. When I bought a Japanese car, a Toyota, he was not very happy. Should have been a Holden, like an E.H. Holden. But my dad would get cranky with us. And he was very good at giving us that belting. You got A pluses in that degree. One of the scariest things my mum could ever say to us as boys was, wait till your father gets home. The fear would hit us like nothing else. One day, I thought I was being pretty clever. I went and climbed up the big gum tree. Dad just came out and went, got to come down sometime, son. Went back inside. He was right. Other things about my dad, very quickly. I was 21 years old. I moved to Tasmania to work in a Christian radio station, and I came home to be best man at a wedding. And my mentor, the Reverend Tom Scarlett, was supposed to be preaching at my church that Sunday night. And he said, I felt in praying for you today that you should preach Sunday night. And I said, okay, I'm up for it. I've got a sermon up my sleeve. I'm ready to go. And I went to my dad, and I said to him, would you like to come and hear me preach? And he said, no. My dad was not open to God very often. And my mum would go to church, and my mum would drag us boys to church, much to her shame of our behaviour at church. All the things we did. Oh, my poor mum. Anyway, I go off to church having remembered my dad has said, no, I'm not coming. And as I get up to preach, I look down into the service, and here's this white-haired old guy in a pale blue safari suit. You remember the safari suits?
Yeah.
pale blue safari suit. And he was sitting to the right-hand side, right up against the wall of the pew. St. Peter's Presbyterian had pews. I preached that night, and 22 young people came to know the Lord. And as a good budding evangelist of 21 years old, I gave the altar call four times. On the fourth time, my dad stood up, and he walked down the front, and he kneeled, and he gave his life to Jesus. He was retired at that time. I gave him a Bible. I tried to get him to go to church. And he said, "I'm not going to church. All the men are wussy." Remember, he's a World War II vet. A bit tough. 2 weeks before my dad died, I went to visit him and mum. And he came up to me and said, "Son, I've been reading that Bible you gave me." I said, "Good, Dad. That's the idea of it. It's not meant to just sit there and gather dust. You're meant to read it." He said, "I read about Enoch." And I went, "You didn't read very much, Dad. There's not a lot about Enoch in the Bible." And he said, "When I go, I want to go like Enoch. I want to be out in the garden and I want to disappear." And I went, "Well, Dad, you can talk to the Lord about that." 2 weeks later, on December the 13th, my dad was mowing the neighbor's lawn. And he had a massive heart attack. And he was dead before he hit the ground. Not quite the walk in the afternoon that I think he imagined. But still, no pain. And he was in the Lord's presence just like that. So he was a good man. He knew the Lord. And he heard God speak to him. Third one I want to talk about is me, very briefly. I've been a good dad at times. I'll say it so myself. I've got some things right. But I've got other things wrong. One of the things as a Johnson is we have a temper, a fiery temper. And sometimes I lose it. Even as my girls get older, I still lose it. And I'm thankful that I'm a dad under grace. I'm thankful that I've got a good, good Heavenly Father who helps me and guides me on this journey. And I'm thankful that I can pray like Paul prays. And I thank Christ our Lord who has enabled me because he's called me to be faithful, putting me into a ministry of working with people. For I was formerly a blasphemer, and every now and then I still lose my cool. I was a persecutor of young Christians, and I certainly was an insolent man. But I certainly am under God's mercy and his grace, which is exceedingly brilliant upon my life. And with his faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, I understand that it is a faithful and true saying that I, in Christ, need to be saved. And he wants to save all sinners, of which I am one. So whether you're a bad dad or a bad person or a good dad under God's grace, enabling to do the best you can, please know that you have a good, good father. In Scripture, we read of a good, good father. For example, in Luke chapter 15, we see a father who embraces the prodigal son. Now, I won't go into the whole story of the prodigal son. Agent Blue's already made some hints there. But one son was good and one son was not so good. One was older and one was younger. The younger one took the inheritance and went away and spent it. And then, when he had nothing left, in the middle of pig slop, came to his senses and thought repentance was the way to go. And God, being the good, good father, embraces this repentant son as he comes home. Also, in Matthew chapter 10, we see a father who provides for us and cares for us in all our needs, just like he cares for the sparrows. And in Luke 15, we also see a father who goes after every one of his children, pursuing a relationship with them, just as a shepherd tirelessly searches for all the lost sheep. We have a good, good father. And so on this Father's Day, I pray that you will continue to embrace your Heavenly Father and know him as your good, good father and what he can do in and through your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in relationship with you. And you, Father, you are a good, good father. There are times in my life when I've needed to repent, continues to be. But I thank you that your grace and your mercy are upon us and available for each and every one of us. I ask, Lord God, that there would be forgiveness. I ask, Lord God, that there would be your grace. I ask, O Lord God, that you would fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, that we might live the life of a good, good Father working in and through us, that we might be about going forth and being your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.